So we have these little tags on the back of everybody's chair. It's something that we in this room are going to kind of take what our church has done over the last 5 weeks, and we're going to push it forward into the summertime for us. And so if you haven't been with us, we've done this thing called There's More. We believe as a church that God wants to do more in us and through us. And so we want to take the idea of there's more and bring it to our prayer meeting, all right? So we are still praying for a move of God in this generation, and we believe that there's more. We're still praying that you would get the gospel to your friends because we believe that there's more. We still are intending for you to pray and sing the Bible, believing that there's more. We're still intending to have corporate prayer, believing that there's more, and we're still going to pray for each other because we believe that there's more. And so we've had this idea that it starts with me. And we've given a phrase there. And so what we've said is it starts with me, but specifically I want to look at today the seats next to you. And we put out all the chairs that we own, minus a couple. I don't know where they went to, but there's a couple chairs that we're missing. But we want to look at the chairs that are next to you on purpose. Now, this room today, I'm not at all surprised that we have the number of people in here that we do. It rained this morning, so people were like, oops, sleeping in. Right, not at all there. That tornado caused people to go, Jesus might be coming back, we're staying home, and then there's a lot of graduations today. So not at all surprised at this way, but even if we had more people in here like we did for our high school service, there's still enough for you to look to a chair next to you, and today I want you to get your eyes on chairs next to you on purpose, all right? So we believe that there's more, and I believe that there's more people that God wants to bring into this room. I believe that there's more people that God wants to save here. I believe that there's more. And so you're still going to see this little symbol for us over the next little bit, just that greater than symbol, because we believe that there's more. And we're going to hit this in three specific ways, the ways that we've outlined with there's more, but we're going to zero in on these mugs over the next couple of weeks. Capacity, connection, and impact. And so if you were in the high school service, we talked capacity. We're going to talk it again today. And so if you're in the middle school service, I believe Pastor Romy is going to be bringing it to that also. But capacity is something that means your ability to get as big as possible. All right. So this for us is as big as possible. This is the largest number of chairs that we have and all that. And the reason we split middle school and high school a couple of years ago was because we reached a point where after, you know, me being here for 7 years, we were not going any further unless we did something different. That we had enough students that were in the room, that most of the chairs were filled. And what you find about people is no one wants to go to a full movie. Everyone wants, like, the gap rule in the chair next to them. Like, if you walk into a movie theater and go, where am I going to get a seat? No one feels good about that. You're not like, yay, unless it's Star Wars and you're dressed up like Darth Vader. That's one of the only places that that happens. But otherwise, most people would prefer an empty movie theater. Why? Because you could jack around a little more. You can mess with your cell phone and no one's going to kick you out. Like, all of that is true. And so we found that there was a point in this room that at that mark, no one else was coming. No one else. They were like, we're not going to invite anybody. It's full. So we said, okay, I want us to still reach more people, so let's do it different. So that's where middle school and high school comes in. And a way that that is consistently fed in this room has happened through hot summer nights, the way we kind of gather together every summer. Last summer, there were 300 students who attended for the first time. Over 100 gave their lives to Jesus. And so we believe that God wants to do that again. And we have to. When we graduate 17 people every year, or 15 to 20 people every year as seniors, that then you start to find that there's just this fall off rate for things. And so we have to continually feed the beast. And so we're gonna feed it today. All right, so here's what the summer looks like, the things that we're going to have involved with Hot Summer Nights. Again, the first week is Serve Springfield. There won't be a service in this room on that Wednesday. We'll be at East Sunshine Church of Christ with everybody. All right, so even if you don't go to Serve Springfield, you can come on Sunday, May 31st. You can go with us Wednesday, June 3rd. We'll be there. The next week, we're going to play bubble soccer. It is death to your body. It's like, I'm serious. Like, even for football players, guys who are athletic, you put 30 pounds on your body and just run and try to dump truck people, you're exhausted after five. And it's going to be awesome. Some of the greatest videos ever recorded by you will happen that day. So if you got the slow-mo function on your phone, get ready. We're going to do a Tonight Show. We've had enough games and events and things that have been Jimmy Fallon-esque. we figured why not bring the foul man out and we'll party that way. All right, so that's that. We're going to do this thing called Ballapalooza. There's just a ridiculous amount of games involving dodgeballs, basketballs, soccer balls, I don't know, any other kind of death ball you could think of. That'll be there. As we get done with that week, we enter into the first week of July, which we want to celebrate the Southern history of America, what we mean by America. And so we're going to have all kinds of a trashy redneck party out here because that seems to be some of the folk that are around here. All right. So if you're a country boy and have been wondering, which week should I invite my friend? America night. Redneck paintball is going to be awesome. All right. So there's that. Then we'll jump into summer camp. In desperation, there won't be services July 5th or July 12th. And that Wednesday in between, we won't have any services there because most of us going to be gone. So if you want to be gone with us, you can come to summer camp. It'll be awesome. We'll return back with a little Battle of the Sexes, Blacklight Night, both of those we had last year. We're doing a throwback night on the following week where we're going to celebrate the decade that you were born, some of you. And so the 90s is going to be a way that we party. And the 90s was a great decade, lots of awesome. And so we're going to do that. And then the next week after that is you going back to school, which I know every one of you love. All right, so there's Hot Summer Nights. And then in as a part of Hot Summer Nights, we have Just Ask, which is a Q&A series we're doing. Out at the information booth on the in our section, there's a little card that's a Just Ask card that if you don't have a cell phone, don't want to text in, you can write a question on that card, drop it there, and we'll take topics that we've been given. Some of the things we're going to cover this summer are doubting God, asking why he doesn't always answer prayer, sickness, war, cutting, self-harm, depression, suicide, parents, authority, drugs, alcohol, dating, relationships, sex, pornography, homosexuality, abortion, and social media. Right? And then that list there at the end, you're like, boy, that's intense. And then all of a sudden it's social media. It's cool. All right. So we give you the ability to text in questions anonymously, not only right now, but also as we answer every question. And so if you were to text the factory to 22333, just like it was the American Idol, if you do that, it'll enter you into what we'll receive for the questions you ask. So every time you punch in 160 characters, we'll get that and be able to answer the questions you have. So even right now, if you're like, ooh, I got one, text that. I promise it's anonymous. I won't go, who that? And then we'll be like, why are you asking this question? That's not, it is as anonymous as it can be. And then while we're answering questions live, you'll have the ability to ask questions while we're doing it. Because anytime someone answers a question, it always brings up another question. So we're going to be able to answer a whole host of questions. All right, so that's the Just Ask portion. And that's how we're going to lead to capacity. I believe with all of my heart, those two things, Hot Summer Nights and the series that we're doing together, have the ability for us to see a lot of people come and a lot of people come to know Jesus. And so we want to start over the next couple of weeks talking about it, starting with you. I want you to look to the seats next to you and say, all right, who's going to be rolling with me? And not to the literal person next to you, if that's true. All right, so we shared this with high school students. So if you were here on Wednesday, you're going to hear these verses again, but don't go, heard this. All right, stay with me. It's Matthew 28, and in Matthew 28, Jesus tells his disciples, go into all the world, go into all the nations, make disciples, right? A, you're going to go into the whole world, and you're going to have people follow me like you follow me, and behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. He said it again in Mark 16. He said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And so Jesus's last words to his crew was, go into the world, tell people about me, and have people follow me like you do. That is not Jesus saying, hey, you guys, if you're not busy, could you maybe get a little time to go? It was Jesus saying, I've got one thing for you to do until I come back. Go into the whole world and make disciples of all the nations. That's it. So as followers of Jesus, we have one objective in knowing and loving God. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. All right, so here's, when we start with chairs, here's the picture I'm going to repeat to be obnoxious until we get to Hot Summer Nights. Every chair represents a person. Everyone, right? You're a person. You're in a chair. Figuratively, every one of these chairs is somebody who's not here yet, right? That every chair represents a person. And every one of those people has a name. So we could go through the list and to have everybody say their name. Hi, I'm Justin. I'm 31. I've got two sons, Jude and Micah. They were ring bearers in a wedding this weekend and looked awesome. I also said a lot of dumb things during said wedding this weekend, which also was awesome. All right, so that is a person. Every chair is a person. That person has a name. I have a story, and you have a story. So I was born in Germany, son of an army guy, moved around the country, parents divorced at 15, came out here to go to college, didn't see that happening. 12 years later, here we are, right? With all of the things, Springfield, Missouri is where dreams come true, right? And so I have a story, and there's so many layers to that story, but I have one, and you have one, and that story matters to God. Why? Because that person matters to God, because you matter to God. So and when we look around this room, I want you to see all of these chairs, to not go, tough crowd today, huh? But for you to look and say, I know someone who could sit right here. And I know someone who could sit right here. And I know someone who could sit right here. And I want you to see a row of your squad where you just get to be squad on point in the middle. Yay, yay. All right, that's, I want you to see a lot of that. All right? And so when we start to talk about that, people get like one reaction in particular, and they think that some of this is me doing it because I want to have a full room to make me feel popular. Right? That like our goal is let's make a full room so we all look cool. And that is not at all there. Rick Warren is a pastor out in Orange County. He has a massive church. They do Easter at a baseball stadium with like 60,000 people. Ridiculous, right? So you go to Easter and it's like your pastor is on the pitcher's mound. Hey, everybody. Like that's crazy. And that's their church. So here's some of the things he says. We'll roll out some of these quotes. He says, you bet I care about numbers because every number represents a person Jesus died for. So we can come back to this room and say, every one of you is a number in this room, right? That I could go around and go, 1, 2, 3, 4. You're a number, but you represent someone Jesus died for because you're a person that matters to God, all right? So he said this. I had a guy tell me one time, we don't count numbers at our church as if it was holy. We don't count sheep, we just feed them, which is like we just preach to people. He said, well, Jesus counted them. How do you think he knew one was lost? Of the 99 he counted, Jesus counted because people count. Don't ever apologize for counting people. Now, here's the story for many of you. When you hear the story of the lost sheep, you go, oh, okay. Here's the perspective of the lost sheep that I've kind of gained doing some of my soapy soap over the last couple of weeks. You ready? Here it is. Every one of the 99 sheep should be grateful that Jesus went after the one that was lost. Because it means if ever you walk away from Jesus, he's going to come after you too. Because most of the time, people are like, well, I'm one of the 99. I just hang in a circle. Everybody's got a dumb friend who's doing dumb things. Why has dummy got to walk out and ruin the rest? Meh. Right? Like, that's all there. And yet, there's going to be a moment where you need Jesus to come after you. And if he'll go after the one, he'll go after you too. Bow! So then he continued with this. He said, sir, you don't count attendance. No. Do you count the offering? Of course we do. You care more about money than you do about people. God cares about numbers. He named a book of the Bible after it. It's called Numbers. Now, here's the truth. Over the last 5 weeks, we counted the money that you all gave between the children's ministry and student ministry. We're close to $2,000 that you all gave in 5 weeks with no notice and no jabs. So, big applause. Yeah. I'm saying, like, Caleb and I have shared enough stories and enough giving moments in this room that every time it's just kind of like, wow. I mean, it literally causes my heart to go dang every time. All right, but here's the truth. How ridiculous of us if we would count this and say that money matters, that matters, and yet when someone comes into the room, we would say that they don't matter enough to count. So I can tell you, we know the number of guests that come every week, and we know because I look at their cards. We pray over those cards. We follow up with those cards. There's a process that people enter into. We do that because that person matters, right? And we know the number of people attend that every week. Why? Because that matters. We know the people who are plugged into small groups every week because that matters. Those things matter. And so we are going to spend time on the things that matter, and that's really people. He also has this one. This is a line for me that just kind of hit right in the soul. It says this. The person who doesn't care about numbers is saying to the world, you can go to hell. It takes unselfish people to grow a church, and a lot of people would rather be cute than effective. And so for me, the value of, man, there's over half a million people in the metropolitan area of Springfield. Half a million, right? That's a lot of people. and every one of them matters. And I can tell you the largest church in our city is not any of the churches in our city. It's the people who don't go to church. The largest body of that is people who just aren't a part of one. And for us to say, isn't it cool that we've got this, that, and the other thing, that's just us trying to be cute, right? And so what I would say for most people in this area, in this stream, a lot of us would like to be cute with Christianity. We'd like to be cute with what Jesus is asking us to do. We'd like to make the priorities things that really don't matter. But in this summer and in the prayer meetings and everything we're doing, there's been this pull back to every person matters. So let's give our lives to seeing as many people come to know Jesus as possible. And so today, we're going to turn in a unique way that if you're tired, it's going to be really helpful. If you're not tired, it may not be that helpful. If you have a problem with emotions, it may not be that helpful either. All right, but here's a story that's going to help set context for us. William Booth founded the Salvation Army. He traveled 5 million miles before there was cars, right? So I just want you to track with that, right? Like, I would walk 1,000 miles and I would 5,000 more. So 5 million miles, right? It's 187 miles from here to the airport in Kansas City. I only know because I drove it. 187 miles. Multiply that by a butt ton and you get 5 million, right? And so he traveled 5 million miles and in that time preached 60,000 sermons. I can say I've just recently crossed over 1,000. But 60K is a tear. And so he, right after the Civil War ended, he started and ordered the cities of America of the darkness that was in it, namely poverty, hunger, and the things outside of bell ringing. That's kind of a new invention. But besides that, he's like, our purpose is going to be there will be no hungry children. There will be no poor people. We're on it. So there were two Salvation Army guys who went to a new city to start a mission. That's what they called it. And so when they went, it just bombed. And I don't know if you've ever done something that just went terrible, right? You tried to ask somebody out and it was awful. Like, hey, yo, girl, what's up? Don't even try. All right, that's where we're at, right? It was a don't even try moment. And so they responded back and said, nothing's working. Nothing at all is going well. We should quit. And William Booth responded in two words in a telegraph back when they went, beep, 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 beep. He sent this back and he said, try tears. And the truth of you and the seat next to you, or when we talk about reaching a lot of people, if there's not a lot of zeal in your heart to see lost people come to know Jesus, I'm going to say it's because of two reasons. You haven't personalized it, that you haven't made the mission of God about someone you know. That's reason number one. And reason number two is if you have personalized it, you haven't thought about what the reality of eternity for that person is that they don't come to know Jesus, someone you know and love. And so the truth for me is I had a friend of mine. She died when she was 16 years old. Her and another friend of mine were driving in our neighborhood. They were going around a corner too fast. She lost control and then drove right into a tree, killing one of my friends instantly. She went to the hospital, and then while in the hospital, that other friend of mine almost died. The crazy story about that girl, her name was Tegan. When we were in high school together, Tegan and I partied together. There were parties at her house all the time. When middle school and high school, we were partying all the time at Tegan's house. And it was just insane. And one moment when I was 15, God saved me. And then a couple months later, her and her family came to this church called Restoration. And I saw her. She went into the service. Pastor was preaching. And that day, Tegan gave her life to Jesus in the service. She walked out. And when she was walking out, her and I talked together. And she said, Justin, man, we got to get serious. Because if this is what he says it is, then we got to get serious because a lot of our friends don't know. And it's time for us to do something about it. And from that day on, Tegan was in fuego, just getting at everybody. I mean, like, preacher just in the flick of a switch. And so I can tell you when Tegan died, when she hit that tree, man, I know it wasn't one of those funerals where I sat at and I said, I hope that they're in heaven. I don't know. I hope so. It was a moment for me when I said, man, I saw that girl give her life to Jesus, and I saw every day from then in which she gave her life to Jesus. And for her, she would just get one of her friends. Come here. Right? And just bring them up, and then she'd just start preaching in between classes. Would sit at cafeteria at one of the tables, preaching. After school, preaching. Old girl wasn't throwing parties anymore. Preaching, like just the whole time. It's time to get it. And I could tell you that there were tears from Tegan because of the friends of hers that she had had party at her house. And then now she was trying to turn away from partying to turn to following Jesus. And when it gets personal, there's tears. When it gets personal, we're passionate. But if it's not personal, if you haven't made it personal, and you haven't thought of the internal implications, it won't matter to you. So I want to set the context with a couple of passages. Nehemiah 2, Nehemiah praying over his city says, why wouldn't I be sad to the king of the world? He said, why wouldn't I be sad when the city of my fathers, their graves, they lie in ruins and its gates have been destroyed with fire? Why not when I look at my city? Why wouldn't I be sad when I look at what's happening? And again, I'll tell you, more people don't attend church than do attend church in our city. We've got severe financial problems in our town that if not corrected is going to ruin our city. We've got a lot of issues going on in your middle school and your high school and teenage culture. I don't need to bring any to the table. You could just look at your Instagram feed and know it's there. So for us, if we just look at that and go, it doesn't matter. But why wouldn't our hearts be moved when we see the way that things are? Luke 19, Jesus looks at Jerusalem and says, when he got near to the city, he just looked at it. And I wish our city had like a mountain or something that you could like look over the whole thing, because that's cool. But in Colorado Springs, when we hike Pikes Peak together, there'll be a moment where you get to look at it and you can see the whole city. And when Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, he wept over it and he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if only you would know that this day that there were things that are bringing you peace, that peace is literally at your door and you didn't know about it. And you could say, man, Springfield, Springfield, if only you knew the things that made for your peace. You could look at your high school and say, man, Glendale, Glendale, if only you knew the things that brought your peace. Or just name your school. And that has to move our hearts when you know the state of things that are on the inside. Philippians 1:8, Paul said this. We kind of preached through this before we got here. That he said, I yearn for you with all the affection of Jesus, right? Like there's this deep, right, I need something in my soul, right? It's the real, real hungry. Philippians 3:18, he continues that same thought and says, he's like, for now I tell you, even with tears, that there are a lot of people who walk as enemies of Jesus, right? And what's his tears about? That there are people who are walking as enemies of Jesus. The tears aren't for the people who love Jesus. The tears are for the people who don't love Jesus and are walking as enemies of God, and it hits in the heart. In Acts 20, Paul says this to the Ephesian elders when he's getting ready to leave. He says, you know how I lived among you, I preached among you, and when I set my feet in Asia, people were trying to kill me up. It was all there. And then verse 31 says, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. 1,000 days of crying. And every day when he stood before people, he said, every day I stood before you, night and day, and with tears I told you, be passionate about Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Preach the gospel of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians, this is a follow-up. He says, for I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears. I'm sending this with a lot of pain, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you. Right? So in this morning, and my prayer is that there's a lot of tears that are going to start to happen over the next couple of weeks, a lot of tears that happen over the next couple of months, and it's going to fuel us for the seats next to us. And it's not to cause pain to the people we're praying for, but it's to say, I have enough love for you as a friend that I'm willing to cry and plead to God that he would save you. I love you enough that I'll go there. And the real value for me in friendship, like I know I'm a really good friend with someone when I've prayed with them. If we haven't prayed yet, I'm going to say we're not that good of friends. Because I love Jesus and I know what he's capable of. And I love them and I know what they're going through. And so until I'm willing to pray with and for them, that love's not there yet. Galatians 4:18 says, this is a verse we're going to kind of hone in on, that it's always good to be made much of for a good purpose. And not only when I'm present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Now, nobody in the room has had a baby. Caleb's holding one. And not too long ago, that little guy came out of Sierra. Sheesh. Right? And so if you think what it takes to get that from a belly into Caleb's arms, it's some work. And anguish is a great word to describe it, right? So there's a reason why they've invented drugs to help women make it through it, because it's literally the most painful experience they will go through in their whole life. And the craziest part is there's a portion of a woman's brain that it will send a, some kind of chemical that will cause them to forget the pain of childbirth so that they'd want to do it again. Insane, right? Like, because there's no woman day of baby who's like, ooh, you know what I'd love to do? That again, right? And yet, for some odd reason, you get enough days, weeks, months, years down the road, they're like, ooh, you know what I'd like to do again? Have a baby. Oh, so you'd like to throw up a lot, not sleep often, waddle most places, and then have the anguish of childbirth one more time. Yes. Huh? Like, so, but that's there. And so he says, like, I have this anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. It's, I'm on my face before God every day until what Jesus intends to do in you is completed in you. And the truth is when you look next to you, that chair represents a person you know. And they have a name. And that person has a story. And they matter to God. And so here's what we're going to do. We've used this giving ladder a lot, speaking specifically about giving, but we've kind of used it as a way for us to say, let's see what we can do together in this, all right? And so today, some of you have probably, like, in this form of intercession, have never cried praying for someone you love. I'm going to invite you to have a first time. Some of you have cried about a lot of things. Maybe you've even cried for someone that you care about when praying. We're gonna step it up until we get to our extravagance in praying for the people we care for is just on fleek. I don't even know where that came from. But there's that, all right? So here's the way we're going to go. We've given you these little soap sheets over the last couple of weeks to get you engaged with the scriptures. We're going to do that today. We're going to have some time where we worship together. Caleb has no voice, so the praying and singing and worshiping is going to be a little different. Outside of having like B.B. King come up there and sing and then have his voice cut out. We're not going to be able to play like that. All right. Rest in peace, B.B. So with Caleb, it's just going to be some singing along and we're just going to have to rip. Just guts out. We'll sing and we'll make our own little chorus in here. It'll be awesome. All right. And so we're going to go through our stuff. But here's why Jesus is awesome. Are you ready? Because in this soap thing, one of the things I've encouraged you to do is to find a verse of the day that comes from YouVersion. They just give a verse every day that you can pray. The verse of today is 1 Timothy 1:15. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the earth to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Now, you may have heard that before because we've prayed it for the last 16 weeks. And the reason, I was like, I opened my phone and I was like, whoa! I mean, I was hype. I was hype like Nick gets hype in the morning. Just, whoa! I was on point, ready to go. Why? Because when you sit there and look at this verse in a unique way, I think it's going to be different for you when you start to say, all right, what am I going to pull out of it? How am I going to apply? How am I going to pray? This is going to be different today because we've prayed this verse for weeks on end, and now we're going to dig this mug up, all right? So, Caleb, we're going to throw a song on first. So, are you coming up here with your baby? We'll play a song. All right, we got a song that we're going to play while Caleb is in dad proxy. And here's what we'll do. We got on the right side, Cameron, in Pro Presenter, there's the little response one. The Tears of the Saints track is there. We're going to play that mug, and we're going to play it like 17 times or until Caleb gets free of his baby. Here's the reason. There's this song by Leland, and David Perkins, a good friend of mine, he was talking about desperation. At desperation, Leland came, and Leland was there leading worship. It was awesome. Leland's cool. He's got Optimus Prime on his guitar. And so he was up there, young guy, waka, 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 and having a great time. They had this song that we were singing, and he said, the crazy thing was I looked around, and this song says there's tears of the saints for the lost and unsaved. And as he looked around, no one was crying. As he looked around, no one cared. As he looked around, the only thing he saw people doing was singing. And this song says, there's tears for the saints, for the lost and unsaved. We're calling for you, come back home. And our mission today is going to be, we're going to call for them to come back home. We're going to pray that Jesus, for the seat next to you, Jesus is going to save that person. And for the seat next to you, I want as many names on these little cards as possible, because as we go through this summer, man, we're going to put those cards out, and we're going to look those cards right in the face, and we're going to pray over those mugs, Jesus, save this person. Because this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Jesus is on the earth to save that person's life. All right, so Cameron's going to throw this track on. Come up here and grab one of these sheets. Go ahead and find a spot, not next to one of your homies, but we're just going to give you an opportunity. You and Jesus, we're going to dig this mug up. All right, so sheets are up here, pens under your chair. Go ahead and grab one of these, grab a spot. Let's work.